Roll call.
Roll call for Friday, January 18th. Anderson District 2?
Here.
Anderson District 28?
Here.
Barnard?
Here.
Beep out, excused. Burns? Case?
Present.
Christensen?
Yes. Here.
Coe?
Here.
Cooper?
Here.
Kraft? Kraft?
Here.
Dockstader? Excused.
Here.
Driscoll?
Excused.
Emmerich?
Here.
Esquibel?
Here.
Geis?
Here.
Hastert?
Here.
Hicks?
Here.
Hines?
Here.
Johnson?
Here.
Landon?
Here.
Meyer? Excused.
Excused.
Nicholas?
Here.
Nutting?
Here.
Perkins? Excused.
Excused.
Peterson?
Here.
Rothfuss?
Here.
Schiffer?
Here.
Scott?
Here.
Von Flatern?
Here.
President Ross?
Here.
Burns? 25 present, 5 excused.
Prayer by Pastor Whitmore.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for, again, the work that is being done here every day. And I pray that today would be a day that the Senate would be able to focus, to stay steadfast as they come to the end of this week. I also want to pray for those that will travel at the end of today and that they would have a great weekend to be replenished, refreshed, so that they may come back Monday to continue the work that you have set out for them. God, may they know that today you are directing their steps. Thank you, God. Amen.
Amen. Please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Reading, correction, and approval of the journal. Will the reading clerk please read the journal committee report?
Mr. President, your journal committee reports that the journal of January the 17th, 2013, has been read and recommends that it be approved. Senator Jim L. Anderson, chairman.
You've heard the reading of the report. Are there any objections? Hearing none, the report is adopted. Doctor of the day is Dr. Dean Bartholomew from Saratoga. There is no nurse for the day. Thought for today is, it is useless for the sheep to pass resolutions in favor of vegetarianism while the wolf remains of a different opinion. Could I have Caitlin Camargo meet me at the podium here, if you would? Caitlin, on behalf of the Senate, we have adopted a resolution, and I'd like to read it to you. A resolution of the Senate 62nd Legislature, State of Wyoming. A resolution to recognize Caitlin Camargo's service as a page to the Wyoming State Senate. Be it resolved by the state, by the Senate of the 62nd Legislature of the State of Wyoming. Whereas Caitlin has served as a page for the Senate from January 8th through January 18th, 2013, Caitlin's service as a page has been exceptional and fully appreciated by Wyoming senators. Whereas this resolution has the support of the members of the Senate of the Wyoming Legislature who have signed their name hereto. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the undersigned members of the Senate of the Legislature of the State of Wyoming, Section 1, that Caitlin has served the Senate of the State of Wyoming with dignity and respect, that Caitlin has dedicated Caitlin's dedication will serve her well in future endeavors. Therefore, with great appreciation, we recognize Caitlin's for her outstanding dedication to the support of the State of Wyoming, on this 18th day of January 2013, signed by me and members of the Senate. So I present that to you, and thank you for all your hard work, and there's also a card for you. And we just, I hope you've enjoyed your time here in the Senate. We appreciated having you around, and if you'd like to say a word, that would be great.
So, good morning, everyone. I really just wanted to thank all the senators, all the staff, all the ladies in the back for welcoming me in these past 2 weeks and making it so easy and so fun to adjust and, like, learn how things work around here. And I honestly had a good time, not just because I got to miss school for 2 weeks, but I really enjoyed the work here. I took an AP government class last year, and so I learned a lot about the process of legislation and how a lot of this works. But being here firsthand and, like, being a part of it is completely different, and I thought it was, like, really great to see the connection from my class to actually being a part of it. And I really enjoyed making those connections, and I liked that a lot. I just want to say thank you. I'm really happy and, like, proud that I got to do this before going to college in the fall, and it's a great experience, and I learned a lot, and hopefully I can see some of you in the future. I will be back to watch more of the session, and just thank you to everyone.
Thank you. You're here. Messages from the House.
January the 17th, 2013, from the House of Representatives. Message number 135, Committee of the Whole indefinitely postponed. Mr. President, the House adopted the Committee of the Whole report, failing the bills listed below by the vote indicated. House Bill Number 33, Roofing Contractors. Ayes 20, noes 37, excused 3. The bill has been indefinitely postponed. House Bill Number 107, Unlawful Use of Liquefied Gas Containers. Ayes 12, noes 40, excused 8. Bill has been indefinitely postponed. Patricia Benskin, House Chief Clerk.
Is that it? Okay. Introduction and reading and reference of bills. Senate File 141, first reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 141, Unlawful Use of Toxic Substances, sponsored by Senator Escobel, an act relating to crimes and offenses.
Senate File 141 have been read or is referred to Committee Number 1, Judiciary. Senate File 38, first reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 38, University of Wyoming Board of Trustees, sponsored by Senator Ross, an act relating to education.
Senate File 38 is referred to Committee Number 4, Education. Senate File 140, first reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 140, Out of State Workers Vehicle Registration, sponsored by Senator Hastert, and act relating to motor vehicle registration.
Senate File 140 is referred to Committee Number 8, Transportation. Reports from standing committees.
January the 18th, 2013, Mr. President, your Committee Number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services, to whom was referred Senate File 72, Medicaid Benefit Recovery, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Anderson, 28. Senators Kraft, Nutting, Peterson, and Scott, Senator Scott, Chairman. January 17, 2013, Mr. President, your Committee Number 5, Agriculture, State, and Public Lands and Water Resources, to whom was referred Senate File 89, Veterinarian Technicians, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass, amended. Aye, Senators Emmerich, Geisen, Hicks. No, Senator Johnson. Excuse, Senator Driscoll. Senator Geis, Chairman. January the 17th, 2013. Mr. President, your Committee Number 5, Agricultural, State, Public Lands, and Water Resources, to whom was referred Senate File 75, Honor Farm Horse Program, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Emmerich, Hicks, and Johnson. No, Senator Geis. Excuse, Senator Driscoll. Senator Geis, Chairman. January the 17th, 2013, Mr. President, your Committee Number 5, Agricultural, State, Public Lands, and Water Resources, to whom was referred Senate File 90, Administrative Control of Acquired Institutional Lands, reports back with a favorable recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Emmerich, Geis, Hicks, and Johnson. Excuse, Senator Driscoll. Senator Geis, Chairman.
Senator Scott.
Mr. President, Senate File 72, Medicaid Benefit Recovery, sponsored by your Joint Labor Committee, was just read in. We've discovered it doesn't need a financial appropriation, but it does need authorization of a couple of positions, which is an appropriation under our system. So I ask it be re-referred to Committee Number 2 to get dealt with that way.
Without objection, Senate File 72 will be re-referred to Committee Number 2. Senator Geis.
Mr. President, your Committee Number 5 with Senate File 90 has appropriation needs to be re-referred to Committee Number 2.
Senate File 90 will be re-referred to Committee Number 2 without objection. Bills on second reading. Senate File 9, second reading of the Senate File.
Senate File 9, private transfer fees.
Senate File 9, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, is so ordered. Senate File 34, second reading of the Senate File.
Senate File 34, Law Enforcement Academy, Director Duties.
Senate File 34, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Senate File 47, second reading of the Senate File.
Senate File 47, School Finance Amendments.
There is an amendment. Would the reading clerk please read the amendment?
As soon as I find it. Senate File 47, second reading amendment number 1, page 1 after line 8.
Senator Schiffer.
Mr. President, I would move second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 47. Mr. President, what this does, it goes in on page 1 after line 8 of the bill and adds one more statutory criteria. These are the safeguards to make sure that when the retirement system releases information, that it can't be tracked. And Mr. President, let me tell you my concern, and I expressed part of it the other day, that this really is private information. It not only has the name, the date of birth, and the Social Security number of everyone that has an account. If, for example, somebody out there wanting information said, I want to know all of the people in the database from a zip code, and I'll just use, this is KC's, 82639 is our zip code. Members of the Senate understand that's Southern Johnson County. It isn't even all of Southern Johnson County. If you're over in Lynch in the oil field area, that has its own zip code. What you'll come up with is probably three people. You can hone information that fine. And this says that the safeguard shall assure that all data released for access is sufficiently aggregated or redacted so that no individual person can be identified by way of specific information or by so narrowing a search of data sets so as to make any person's identity available. Mr. President, I submit I wanted to somewhere insert the word inscrutable, but in the interest of compromise, I did not put that in. I think this makes it a much better bill. I ask for your support.
Discussion on the amendment. Question has been called. All those in favor of second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 47, please say aye.
Aye.
That opposed? That amendment has been adopted. Senate File 47, having been read two separate... Senator Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, during testimony this morning, we learned about a modification we probably should make to our school finance amendments. So I would ask that the Senate File 47 be laid back until Monday for the opportunity to put another amendment on.
Without objection, Senate File 47 will be laid back until Monday. Senate File 62, second reading of the Senate File.
Senate File 62, State Board of Education Membership.
There are some amendments. The reading clerk will read amendment number 1.
Senate File 62, second reading amendment number 1, page 2, line 20.
Senator Case.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would move second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 62. Mr. President, I actually have two amendments to give the body a choice. The first amendment is my preferred, and the second one, it deals with the same situation in a different manner. Mr. President, this is goes into this bill, and on page 2, it deletes the language that requires people from the Board of Education to be of any particular party. The existing language says that no more than 6 can be from any one party. So that means it's a 12-member board. That means it's half and half. Mr. President, I'm sure you've heard discussions about how difficult it is to find people to serve in our boards and commissions. And you always have to find a red person from a blue county that has 4 years of experience, da-da-da-da-da. And I think we're above this. So I think we just take out any reference to political party. I have no doubt that the Board of Education will continue to be served by people from all parties. And I'm confident in our executives to make this selection. So that's what my preferred amendment is. Just get rid of political party.
There you go.
Mr. President, I agree that the title of the bill maybe says this, but the subject matter in the bill, the topic in the bill, specifically relates to the at-large positions on the state board. It doesn't reference anything else. The bill's total focus is on the at-large members to replace one of those members with a school board member from around the state. So, Mr. President, I don't think that the amendment is even germane to the subject matter in the bill, and ask that you rule on that.
Thanks for sharing. Yes, you may.
Correct. responding
correct.
To the, I guess to the point of order, it's asking for a ruling. Mr. President, the bill is about modifying the makeup of the Board of Education. It clearly provides notice that anything in this bill is open for fair game. What I'm doing is modifying the requirements for the Board of Education. It can't be more clear than that. And if we were to adopt a standard suggested, just think of all the things. If you so narrowly define it that nothing in the bill could be changed except for the new language, that would be a bad precedent, Mr. President. Clearly, I think this is constitutional.
The ruling of the chair that the amendment is germane to the bill. Unless anybody wishes to question the ruling of the chair, then we'd have the Rules Committee. Further discussion? Senator Rothfuss.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, even if it is germane to the bill, let's give some thought to what we have here. We have something which fundamentally changes what the bill's purpose is. Section 20, Article 3 of our Constitution indicates that no law shall be passed except by bill, and no bill shall be so altered or amended on its passage through either House as to change its original purpose. Now, this bill came to the floor as a bill that came out of committee with 5 votes supported because, Mr. President, we wanted to see a change to allow for a superintendent to be a member of the state board. This proposed amendment changes it dramatically to the point where we're completely changing the structure and operation of the board and the history of the board. The purpose of the State Board of Education is to provide essentially a nonpartisan view on education. The way that the original crafters of the board decided to go about doing that was to ensure that there was balance, and therefore neither party was capable of dominating in the discussion or in the decision making. 6-6. That's what we've worked with for all of this time. I can assure you that this is certainly a solution looking for a problem. In the last couple of years, I haven't heard a single conversation saying, boy, it sure has been hard for us to find Board of Education members. Boy, that Board of Education sure isn't doing a very good job because they have a balanced party membership. Those are not things that have been brought to us. We've had good respect for the board on both joint education and select education accountability. We consider their advice to be nonpartisan, their rulings to be objective, and they've worked very effectively. Mr. President, even if the ruling is that this would be germane, I would say, first of all, that the body needs to give some thought to the fact that this is a more significant bill, probably fivefold through the amendment, than it was when it came into the chamber. Also give some consideration to the fact that there is still plenty of time left to run a standalone piece of legislation that could then come to the Education Committee for testimony, full consideration, putting it through the entire process. So I would encourage that we defeat this amendment, in fact, the next amendment also, and if the bringer of the amendments wants to get this done, let's run it through the full process where we can have a committee hearing, bring in members of the Board of Education, have them talk about how it would affect things, and then we can come back here with a recommendation as a committee that's based on a thorough analysis of how this would affect the state of education in Wyoming instead of just an ad hoc amendment on second reading. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. Further discussion? Senator Case.
Mr. President, this bill is to modify the makeup of the Board of Education. We provide plenty of notice about that. The ruling of the chair was accurate. That's what the amendment does. Anybody can bring an amendment in here. That's our job. And there's nothing wrong with bringing this amendment. Mr. President, the last speaker made the comment that this should be nonpartisan. I totally agree. Support the amendment.
Ready for the question? Question is, should second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 62 pass? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Amendment has failed.
I'll withdraw the next one.
You're withdrawing this one? What about number 2?
Oh, Mr. President, I'll withdraw number 2.
All right. Senate File 62 have been read two separate times. The question is, shall the bill be read a third time here? No objection, so ordered. Senate File 66, second reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 66, state-funded conservation easements restrictions.
We have some amendments. Reading clerk, please read amendment number one.
Senate File 66, second reading amendment number one, page 2, line 19.
Senator Scott.
Mr. President, move adoption of this amendment. Mr. President, this amendment is just technical, conforms the bill to our drafting standards by desuchifying it. I urge the Senate to adopt the amendment.
Question on the amendment. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Amendment number one has been adopted. Reading clerk, read amendment number two.
Senate File 66, second reading amendment number two, page 2, line 9.
Senator Scott.
Mr. President, move adoption of this amendment. Mr. President, this is an amendment of some substance. If the Senate will recall the discussion in Committee of the Whole from yesterday, the bill as it comes to us, where you've got one of these situations where somebody is ignoring the easement and going out and developing the land. The way the bill is, it comes to us as structured, the state gets its share of the ill-gotten gains, share being determined by how much of the money we put up. What this amendment does is give the state, and I think the board would be the people, the way it's written, that would exercise that, the option to either take a legal action to enforce the terms of the amendment, the easement, or to get its share of the finances. And the example that we used yesterday, I think, was a good one, and I understand we do have such an easement. Somebody tries to develop, say, a winter range for a key species that may have a big effect on our hunting, not necessarily on the easement, but on the survival of the animals we want to hunt elsewhere. And suppose it was sheep, bighorn sheep that are really in short supply, we might be much better off saying, no, we'll take a legal action to prevent that development from ever occurring and preserve the easement for the purpose for which we put up the money for it. But it allows the board to be sensible and say somebody in one of these things just encroached a little on the easement, and yeah, they sold the neighbors a little parcel that should have been subject to the easement, and basically they've encroached on a little piece of it, and the best way to settle it is financial. So it lets us be sensible by giving them an either or. I would represent to the Senate, I think this is important. People need to understand when you give one of these easements, you're permanently giving up a right. And that as one of the people financing the easement, we ought to be able to enforce that right according to the best interests of the state. And that's what this amendment does, is allows us that option.
Discussion on the amendment. Question's been called. All those in favor of second reading amendment number two to Senate File 66, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That amendment's been adopted. There is another amendment. The reading clerk read amendment number three.
Senate File 66, second reading amendment number three, page 3, line 2.
Senator Hicks.
Mr. President, members of the committee, I bring this amendment, and I'd like to thank the good senator from Uinta County for catching this. In fact, I would reference you to your constitution.
You need to move the amendment, sir.
Oh, I'd like to move the amendment, Mr. President.
Thank you.
Thank you. If you go to your Constitution, Section 2, Article 39, that was just passed by the voters of this state by almost 90% margin, said hunting, fishing, and trapping is pretty important, and it's in our Constitution now. So with that provision, I would ask for a favorable consideration of the body for adoption.
Question? Question been called. All those in favor of second reading amendment number 3 to Senate File 66, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That amendment's been adopted. Amendment number 4, the reading clerk will please read the amendment.
Senate File 66, second reading amendment number 4, page 3, line 1.
Senator Hicks.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to move second reading amendment number 4 to this bill. This is just a housekeeping piece of language that just conforms to all the other sections within the bill, and ask for your considerable consideration in adopting this amendment.
Discussion on the amendment. Ready for the question? Question's been called. All those in favor of second reading amendment number 4 to Senate File 66, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That amendment's been adopted. Senate File 66 haven't been read. Two separate. Oh, Senator Hicks. Sorry.
To the bill, there was a question yesterday that came up on first reading regarding the provision of allowing trust fund dollars to be used for acquisition of easements. And in fact, if you go to the 915-103, it explicitly states that you can use these dollars for conservation easements. Where some of the confusion may have arisen is none of these dollars through the trust fund could be used for fee acquisition. So, but they do have the ability, as authorized under statute, to be used for conservation easements. Thank
Any
you.
Discussion? Thank you, Senator Hicks. Senate File 66 haven't been read two separate times. The question is, shall the bill be read a third time here and no objection is so ordered? Senate File 68, third reading or second reading of the Senate File. There is an amendment. Would the reading clerk please read amendment number 1? Senator Scott.
Mr. President, move adoption of this amendment. Mr. President, what this amendment does is it goes into the bill. You'll recall the discussion in committee of the whole yesterday on a couple of issues. One was, what do you do about somebody who possesses some of the code that's involved here in programming something and wants to use that code because it works for some other project that is entirely innocent? But we don't want to make criminals out of them, apparently borrowing somebody else's code and using it for your own project is fairly routine in the development of software, and we don't want to restrict our abilities in that area. And there was also discussion of the provision on page 4, lines 4 through 8, that provision would make convictions difficult by giving a defense that might make it fairly difficult to get a conviction. What this amendment does is it says that we're going to modify the crime on page 3, line 19, to be one where you have to prove that they're intending to evade the imposition and collection of sales tax when they sell or possess one of these things. That takes care of the person that is clearly using it, Mr. President, for some innocent purpose. That does make it harder to get a conviction. You've got another element you've got to prove. But that's not a stranger to our law. You see that, for instance, in the drug laws all the time, where somebody is charged with possession with intent to deliver. And this is the same sort of thing. Intent to evade imposition and collection of a sales tax. And I would think it would be fairly easy to prove. You find this on somebody's cash register. What else are they doing? What else can they be doing? And it does remove, the amendment then does remove the provision on page 4 that we thought would give us trouble with convictions. So, Mr. President, that's the amendment. That's the way we've crafted it. And I would stand for any questions or invite any comments from the real attorneys in the body.
Discussion. Mr. Minority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, not on behalf of one of the lawyers here, but on and for the amendment, I think this solves my concerns that I expressed in committee of the whole and allows for reasonable use of these types of things without risk of going to jail. Thanks, Mr. President.
Further discussion, Senator Hines.
Mr. Chairman, my only question, and I was trying to remember the discussion last year, I was thinking we were told there's really no valid reason for this. But if there was a partner or a business that was trying to defraud or keep some of the sales away out of the book that would defraud a partner, would this affect that? If you and I are partners and I'm doing the book work and so I zap out part of the sales and when the record come out you don't know anything about it and they're in my pocket, how does this affect that?
Senator Von Flatern.
My fellow senator from Campbell County comes up with a very good scenario that unless there was some tax involved, but it was a tax-free transaction, you're not defrauding the state. But I would assume in your members agreement for an LLC or your corporation that you're not doing your fiduciary duties correctly, and that would be the grounds for the partner to come back on you. But whether he'd discover it, we've had a lot of little homeowners associations recently in our area that have moved money in different directions, and it took a year or two or five to find that person doing it. So I cannot say that you would be illegal under this bill, but if it's an illegal activity proven, I think it becomes civil and not criminal, but that would be between you and your less than trusty partner.
Further discussion? Are you ready for the question?
Question.
Question's been called. All those in favor of second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 68 say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
That amendment's been adopted. Any further discussion? Senate File 68 having been read two separate times. The question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Senate File 82, second reading of the Senate File.
Senate File 82, Game Bird Farm Licenses Expiration.
Senate File 82, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection is so ordered. Senate File 84, second reading of the Senate File.
Senate File 84, Wyoming Health Insurance Pool Premiums.
Senate File 84, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Senate File 85, second reading of the Senate File.
Senate File 85, Game and Fish Resident Preference Points.
Senate File 85, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Senate File 96, second reading of the Senate File.
Senate File 96, Compulsory School Attendance.
There is some amendments. The reading clerk, please read amendment number 1.
Senate File 96, second reading amendment number 1, page 2 after line 8.
Senator Rothfuss.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I move second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 96. Ask the body for favorable consideration. This is a little bit of a cleanup amendment based on the observation under committee of the whole that we left out the parallel language requiring that the other person be a person having control or charge of the child so that we could avoid somebody just walking into the school and releasing somebody else's child for no particular reason. It's a bit of cleanup, and I'd hope the body would support it.
Discussion. All those in favor of second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 96, please say aye.
Aye.
opposed? That amendment's been adopted. Reading clerk will read second reading amendment number 2.
Senate file 96, second reading amendment number 2, page 1, line 7.
Senator Escobel.
Mr. President, amendment number 2 to Senate file 96. And this has to do with a discussion we had yesterday where the parents are separated, divorced, or situation of that nature, and rather than the school board get involved in a dispute where one is in favor of the child leaving school at the age of 16 and the other one isn't, and they start arguing about it, this would allow the school board of trustees to rule and to make a decision based on the best interest of the child, which would be for education, unless there's some compelling purposes to the contrary. I'll read it for purposes of the record. Notwithstanding subsection C or D of this section, no board of trustees of any school district shall exempt any child from the operation of this article upon the request of one parent, guardian, or other person having control or charge of the child, if any other parent, guardian, or person having control or charge of the child objects to the exemption for the purpose of continuing the child's education. This subsection shall not apply if the objection of any parent, guardian, or other person having control or charge of the child is made for purposes unrelated to the education of the child. I would ask for, if there's any questions, otherwise I would ask for your favorable vote.
Is there any discussion? Senator Rothfuss.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I'm an ambivalent towards second reading amendment number 2. Mr. President, we did have some early discussion about this yesterday, and I would like to hear some more thoughts from my fellow senators regarding whether or not we should take this direction or leave one parent with regard to their experience in the types of situations where there might be some confrontation, as well as a better understanding of how the courts might look upon this in a conflict between who has the legal rights for that child, if there's split custody or other such considerations. I'd also ask the bringer of the amendment what the intended situation for the lines 20 to 22 are, where this subsection shall not apply. Based on the objection, if that objection is made for purposes unrelated to the education of the child, what circumstances those would be reasonable under, and how an individual wouldn't just circumvent it by saying they're making the objection in accordance with this provision. So if we can get a little more discussion on it, I'd feel better about which way to vote.
Senator Case.
Mr. President, you know, this is an awful hard thing to do, and I just, you know, I've sort of been down this road myself, and in my situation, or it's common, let's just say that, it's common for one parent to have, like, day-to-day control of the child, so to speak, if you actually do have control at this age, but then frequently a decree will say something like, in terms of medical decisions or other major things, it's both, you know, and so, but if a child is suddenly presented to a physician, the physician doesn't say, well, you know, you're divorced, you must have a decree or something. We don't go down that route. It doesn't work. It doesn't work to tell everybody out there to be on notice. The parents got to figure this out themselves, and I don't think we can possibly make this work. So thank you, Mr. President.
Senator Escobel.
Mr. President, I welcome these comments because I agree it's a difficult situation to be in, but having some knowledge of parents that have some animosity among them, they will use the child for for purposes just to get at the other person. But even, you know, and I'd hate to, and I brought this up, you know, because I'd hate to see the school board or people in the school system get involved in some of these disputes because they get pretty emotional. But even among parents that are together and that are fairly well functioning and have the best interests of the child, these kind of disputes can come around unless the parents resolve them. And that would be the best solution. For example, I mentioned that some years back when my son was in high school, my wife and I were having a dispute as to whether our son should take either swimming, continue with swimming, or with baseball. And my son resolved it because he decided he'd rather swim than play baseball. But these type of situations can get to be thrown into the hands of the school system, and I'm trying to figure out some way to make their situation a little bit easier. Anyway, I would ask for your approval on this amendment. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Further discussion on amendment number 2. Are you ready for the question? All those in favor of second reading amendment number 2 to Senate File 96, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
That was just... Thank you. Division. All those in favor of amendment number 2, please stand.
Aye.
All those opposed?
25, 24,
17. Amendment number 2 has failed. Further discussion on Senate File 96? Seeing none, the question is, shall Senate File 96 be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Majority floor leader. Senate, let's stand at ease until appropriations makes it back. Back. It's a hazard. Jim, or that one, Jim. All right. Dockstader's here. I don't see Perkins or Bebout. How is that noise? It sounds like dentist office. Then it'll come back to order. Senator Anderson.
Mr. President, privilege of the floor.
You may have it.
Mr. President, today we have a group from Willard Elementary School, fifth grade, in the balcony with our teacher, Jackie Walker, for a legislative visit. Please help me to welcome them. Thank you.
Welcome to the Senate. Hope you enjoy your day. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, bills on third reading and final passage. Do you have a consent list?
Mr. President, we do have a consent list. And it's buried. Here it is. Mr. President, when I read the list that you're about ready to hear, the only thing that's been removed from the green sheet consent list as being proposed is Senate File 52, Natural Gas State Vehicles, so that's coming off. So, Mr. President, I move the following bills to be on the consent list. Senate File 2, Oil and Gas Conservation Commission Filings. Senate File 7, Conservation Districts, hyphen, Special Expertise. Senate File 18, Professional Engineers and Surveyors Practice Act. Senate File 27, Limited Mining Operations. Senate File 51, Federal Motor Carrier Safety Act Compliance. Senate File 67, Wiretap Authorization. Senate File 74, Professional Licensing Military Spouses. Senate File 78, Active Duty Medical Cost Reimbursement Program Amendments. Thank you.
Would any senator like any of those bills removed from the consent list? Senator Scott.
Mr. President, Senate File 27, Limited Mining Operations, please.
Senate File 27 is removed from the consent list. Senator Meyer.
Senate File 18, Mr. President.
File 18 is removed from the consent list. Any other requests to be removed from the consent list? Having been read three separate times, the question is, shall these bills pass the Senate? Senate File 2, Oil and Gas Conservation Commission Filings. Senate File 7, Conservation Districts, Special Expertise. Senate File 51, Motor Carrier Safety Act Compliance, Senate File 67, Wiretap Authorization, Senate File 74, Professional Licensing, Military Spouses, and Senate File 78, Active Duty Medical Cost Reimbursement Program Amendments. The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Anderson District 2.
Aye.
Anderson District 28.
Aye.
Barnard. Bebout.
Aye.
Burns.
Aye.
Case.
Aye.
Christensen.
Aye.
Coe.
Aye.
Cooper.
Aye.
Kraft.
Aye.
Dockstader.
Aye.
Driscoll excused. Emmerich.
Aye.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Geis.
Aye.
Hastert.
Aye.
Hicks.
Aye.
Hines.
Aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
Landon.
Aye.
Meyer.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Nutting.
Aye.
Perkins excused. Peterson.
Aye.
Rothfuss.
Aye.
Schiffer.
Aye.
Scott.
Aye.
Von Flatern.
Aye.
President Ross.
Aye.
On the consent list, 28 ayes, 2 excused. Senate File 2, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 2, 28 ayes, 2 excused. Senate File 7, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 7, 28 ayes, 2 excused. Senate File 51, are there any changes? Case I to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 51, 27 ayes, 1 no, 2 excused. Senate File 67, are there any changes? Case, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 67, 27 ayes, 1 no, 2 excused. Senate File 74, are there any changes? Case, aye to no. Burns, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 74. 26 ayes, 2 noes, 2 excused. Senate File 78. Are there any changes? Close. Barnard, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 78, 27 ayes, 1 no, 2 excused.
Having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Senate, Senate File 2, Senate File 7, Senate File 51, Senate File 67, Senate File 74, and Senate File 78 have passed the Senate. Senate File 18, third reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 18, Professional Engineers and Surveys Practice Act, sponsored by the Corporations Committee, an act relating to surveyors and engineers, be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I'll apologize to the Senate if any of this stuff's been amended that I'm going to bring up here. But as you well know, appropriations has been off the floor while this bill's been moving through. And these are some questions to the sponsor and or anyone that wants to address them if they would. Look it over on page 33. In section 33-29-708, criminal penalties. And I'm assuming that is still in the act. It says, any person who violates any provision of this act is guilty of a misdemeanor punishable by a fine not more than $1,000, by imprisonment of not more than 1 year or both, and each violation shall constitute a separate offense. Then, Mr. Chairman, I look over here to the duties and powers of the board over here on page 29 in section 33-29-702, that's grounds for disciplinary action, and I'm assuming that this also could be maybe grounds for a criminal action because it would be any violation or provision of this act. So they'd act about the same way, and it's a violation of this act or board rule. And when a board has a rule and acts it, that's essentially law. It acts as law. It controls the public. So An individual who violates this act might not even know that he's violating it, and end up with substantial criminal penalties or prison time. So I think we need to understand what we're trying to do with this. I can certainly understand if someone holds himself out to be an engineer and practices as an engineer, you know, without being licensed, that he's defrauding the public and the most severe penalty should be put upon them. But it's any person violating the act under basically any part of the act or any rule. Yeah, I know that there are some exemptions, and I think those exemptions may help the bill out in some way, but I'd seriously like to have some discussion about the issues that I have a concern with, and somebody see whether or not I'm seeing something that goes bump in the night, or where those criminal penalties are still there, and how broad they are, and who they apply to.
Senator Scott.
Mr. President, and given the prior history of this act, as I understand, the good senator is basically inquiring, are we got a fencing thing in here and a bunch of criminal penalties to enforce it? And my answer is no, that the act has been gone over quite carefully. The real offense that you're going to see here is somebody who says they're a professional engineer or a professional land surveyor when they are not. And that really is a fraud, and that is a violation of this act, and that will get you prosecuted. With regard to the item on page 29, the grounds for disciplinary action, now violation of the act is grounds for disciplinary action, but for instance, violating a board rule, order, or code of ethics, which is in the same subhead on line 17, page 29, as a violation of this act. Those aren't violations of the acts. Those are violation of board rules, and that's different. That's grounds for disciplinary action, but not a criminal case. And it's my judgment that the criminal penalty is strictly the violation of the act, and the things that people would do in violation of this act basically is representing themselves to be a professional engineer or a professional land surveyor when they are not. And when you trace through the definitions, that's what you come up with. And that's why I think this does not attempt to put any other profession out of business or fence people out of business as long as they don't misrepresent themselves.
Further discussion? Senator Johnson.
Well, thank you, Mr. President. This is kind of an insurance policy, I would say, that if somebody is so negligent or building they design falls in, or if they're surveying and they're half a mile off, or, I mean, something really extensive, then the board would go to the county attorney or the prosecuting attorney, present the evidence to him or her, then the attorney would figure out if it was worth prosecuting. But if it was worth prosecuting in this case, they do have a criminal penalty if it goes through the judicial system. So it gives them a course if something they did was terribly wrong.
Further discussion? Senator Meyer, for your second time.
Mr. President, unfortunately, the representation made about what is a criminal act is not the representation in the bill. The representation in the bill says any violation. It necessarily doesn't say the representation is holds themselves out specifically to be an engineer. So, you know, it's broader than that. If the criminal act was specific, then I probably have a comfort level with it, because as I said in my opening time period, is that, yeah, someone who does hold himself out, you know, certainly needs to be prosecuted criminally. And I would agree with the tall senator from Natrona County. But I think it's a lot broader than that. And so I guess we got a couple of choices. We could either hold the bill back till Monday or vote on it, or try to work on it in the House. And I leave that motion up to the tall senator from Natrona County, because he knows the bill more than I do. If the interpretation is that it's broader than some of these egregious things, as any criminal activity, then I guess I'd ask the good senator to hold the bill back. If it isn't, and it's more specific as he suggested, to being some of these egregious acts, then, Mr. President, I'm fine to go on with the bill. But not having heard the floor discussion and the opportunity to really delve into it, I don't want to hold it up and bring it back. And I'd leave that to the tall senator from Natrona County.
Senator Scott.
Mr. President, I think it's ready to go. I think we ought to vote on it. Yes, it's a violation of this act, and there would be some things you could do that would violate the act that wouldn't be just misrepresenting whether you are a professional engineer or not. Providing the board with false information when you seek licensure, trying to get a license by fraud, would be another example, I suppose. The primary thing you would see, I think, would be misrepresentation of your status, whether you were licensed or not. The bill in past iterations has had some problems in it where they tried to ban practice by other professions of things that they thought were engineering and the other professions thought were part of that. We've gotten all that out of there. So this is the standard thing that we see in all our licensure. You have some kind of a misdemeanor offense for violating that particular Professional Licensure Act. They rarely get to a criminal status, but our practice has been to include those. So, Mr. President, frankly, I think the bill is ready, and it is unfortunate that on occasion the members of the Appropriations Committee have to be absent and miss the opportunities for the general discussion.
Further discussion? Question has been called. Senate File 18 having been read, or Senate File 18 having been read three separate times. The question is, shall the bill pass? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Anderson District 2. Anderson District 28.
Aye.
Barnard.
Aye.
Bebout.
Aye.
Burns.
No.
Case.
Aye.
Christensen.
Aye.
Coe.
Aye.
Cooper.
Aye.
Kraft.
Aye.
Dockstader. Driscoll excused. Emmerich.
Aye.
Esquibel.
Aye.
Geis.
Aye.
Hastert.
Aye.
Hicks.
Aye.
Hines.
Aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
Landon.
Aye.
Meyer.
No.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Nutting.
Aye.
Perkins excused. Peterson.
Aye.
Rothfuss.
Aye.
Schiffer.
Aye.
Scott.
Aye.
Von Flatern.
Aye.
President Ross.
Aye.
Closing
case,
aye to no. Closing vote. Closing vote closed. 25 ayes, 3 noes, 2 excused.
By your vote, Senate File 18 has passed the Senate. Senate File 27, third reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 27, Limited Mining Operation, sponsored by Senator Bebout, and Act Relating to Environmental Quality, be it enacted by the Legislature of the State of Wyoming.
Senator Scott.
Mr. President. Mr. President, I was here in the legislature when we put that 10-acre exemption in place first time. And I recall the discussion related mostly to farmers and ranchers typically have a small gravel pit on the place, use it occasionally for their own purposes. They're not a big commercial operation. Can't afford the permitting costs of a large commercial operation, and frankly don't present the environmental hazards that a large commercial operation can. Over time, the 10-acre exemption has evolved into one that is frequently used for commercial purposes. And what this bill does is really change the nature of that exemption so that it really is a new way of having a commercial gravel pit. Now, 15 acres is well beyond what some ranching operation is going to use for its own purposes. We're talking commercial operations with a lesser standard of licensure, of permitting. And there's some good arguments, Mr. President, for doing that. Economically, it may make gravel available cheaper, may result in some extra environmental damage. It's not controlled in ways that if you get a small mining permit, it is controlled. And, Mr. President, I think it's a policy decision this legislature and the Senate needs to take quite seriously. And I've been listening to the debate and through the two readings, and we've had debate in each of the previous two readings on this particular bill. And that's the conclusion I've reached, that we're really talking about having a third species of commercial operation with a lesser standard of permitting. And, Mr. President, we have, as I explained in Committee of the Whole, a significant gravel pit on our ranch. It is a significant source of income to us, not our major source by any means. And I'm finding that I can't be objective as to whether this policy change is a good idea or not, because it puts the operation on my place and therefore my income at an economic disadvantage compared to the people who will get a permit with a lesser standard. So, Mr. President, I'm going to ask the permission to declare a conflict of interest. I know normally that's done committee of the whole, but frankly, until I'd heard the full debate, I didn't realize the extent to which this is a policy change. So I'm going to declare a conflict of interest, ask to be excused from voting. And what I ask my fellow senators is to take this policy change seriously, realize it is a significant policy change, and vote it up or down on its merits.
Mr. Vice President.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. President. And members of the Senate, I appreciate the comments from my tall colleague from Natrona County. And just a couple of things, and I think that he's very accurate when he said this was originally set up possibly for farmers and ranchers to allow them to do what they've done. And it's evolved into the situation we have today, which is just as time marches on, these kind of things happen relative to what we're trying to do with the exemption in the first place. I'm not sure what he means by a permit of lesser standard. You know, these type of exemptions, as we've talked many times, have two permits that are required. What they do not have to require is a land quality permit that you need for a small mining operation. You know, as time has evolved and the kind of equipment necessary to be utilized to have these, and the crusher spreads have gotten larger. And of course, understand this was brought to us by the people in our state that do build these roads as a way to allow them to do, I think, a better job in what they're trying to accomplish given the cost constraints that they have in the bidding that they do. And we've simply taken it from 10 to 15, and we have excluded the roads. I would remind the body that we have doubled the bonding capacity as a minimum, and we have also allowed the department to have the latitude if they, in fact, see that there are some other extenuating circumstances that they can take that up to a level they feel comfortable with that is reasonable. Mr. President, I think this is a move forward. I think it's something that we need to do given the nature of the changing situation with these gravel operations, so I would ask the Senate to support this bill.
Further discussion? Question has been called. Senate File 27, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Anderson, District 2?
Aye.
Anderson, District 28?
Aye.
Barnard?
Aye.
Bebout?
Aye.
Burns?
No.
Case?
No.
Christensen?
Aye.
Coe?
Aye.
Cooper?
Aye.
Kraft?
Aye.
Dockstader?
Aye.
Driscoll excused. Emmerich?
Aye.
Esquibel?
Aye.
Geis?
Aye.
Hastert?
Aye.
Hicks?
Aye.
Hines?
Aye.
Johnson?
Aye.
Landon?
Aye.
Meyer?
Aye.
Nicholas?
No.
Nutting?
Aye.
Perkins excused. Peterson?
Aye.
Rothfuss?
Aye.
Schiffer?
No.
Scott? Conflict? Von Flatern? President Ross?
No.
Closing. Christensen, aye to no.
Johnson, aye to no.
Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 20 ayes, 7 noes, 2 excused, 1 conflict.
Senate File 27 having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Senate, Senate File 27 has passed the Senate. Senate File 52, third reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 52, Natural Gas State Vehicles, sponsored by the Minerals Committee, an act relating to motor vehicles, be enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Have an amendment. Will the reading clerk please read in third reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 52.
Senate File 52, third reading amendment number 1, page 3 after line 2.
Senator Rothfuss.
Mr. President. Mr. President, I move third reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 52 and ask the body for favorable consideration. Mr. President, I asked yesterday, as you may recall, for this to be laid back one additional day so that we could come forward with an amendment that addressed the additional fiscal note, which was provided a little bit late in the game yesterday and had some substantial numbers as you went through it, and some relatively small and modest numbers. The first thing I would like to address is on that fiscal note, there was the $332,600, which was noted by A&I, and at the time I suspected that might be a miscalculation based on the fact that they were assuming they would have to convert vehicles instead of just purchase new vehicles. And I was correct in that. Therefore, the correct fiscal note would be $57,600. After contacting them, they realized they would need less. Again, that's not an appropriation requirement. That would be sort of the effect on their internal budget that would hopefully be offset by long-term savings. Mr. President, what we did to try and assuage the concerns of the body through this amendment, number one of third reading, you can see that on lines 5 through 11, we add an additional waiver possibility, effectively, a little C that indicates that the governor, upon a demonstration of financial hardship by the responsible department or agency, may waive or reduce the requirements of this section. And then if doing so, the governor shall promptly provide a written report to the Joint Minerals Business and Economic Development Interim Committee explaining the reasons for any waiver or reduction pursuant to this subsection. What that does, Mr. President, basically is under a circumstance where an agency would find it restrictive from a budgetary standpoint to implement this policy, they could contact the governor, provide for that justification, ask for either a reduction or a waiver of that requirement, and then, based on the decision of the governor, that allowance could be made. What this effectively does is make sure that we're still trying towards that 50% purchase. We're still making our attempt to develop a fleet to the best of our ability. But, again, since we didn't provide a direct appropriation, we recognize that there might be some agencies that cannot fit that into their long-term budget strategy, cannot budget in such a manner that they recognize the savings that will be accrued over 4, 6, 7 years into the future, while still providing for that flexibility, encouraging the agency to do so. So I'd encourage the body to vote for this amendment. It provides some additional flexibility and hopefully can get this program moving forward. Thank you, Mr. President.
Discussion on the amendment. Senator Schiffer.
And a question for the sponsor of the amendment. The way agency budgets are constructed, and this act is effective immediately. So they've got to do this out of the balance left in this biennium, and then it goes in the next biennium, they've got to do this. However, there's no appropriation, and long-term savings won't kick in till I believe there's no payback on this for 10 years. So does that mean an agency can ignore this? Because the Appropriations Committee takes a very strong stand that you can only spend money for what it's appropriated for. And we're having a big battle with an agency because they spent money for things that it wasn't appropriated for. And I'm just at a loss how this is going to jive at the agency level, because it looks to me like it either doesn't work or you're making agencies spend money for a reason that wasn't in the original appropriation nor in the budget, which makes them, I don't know if it's a felony yet, but we'll look at that in the interim.
Further discussion? Senator Burns.
Mr. President. This bill has bothered me right from the get-go, and frankly, I'm on the bill, so never mind.
Never mind.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. Anybody else on the amendment before the sponsor takes his second time? Okay. Mr. Minority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, on the amendment, addressing the concerns, if the budget was so specifically written that there's not flexibility in purchase of vehicles, but there is a dollar amount for a vehicle, and the appropriation for those vehicles was so specific that it said $36,500 for those vehicles, yes, they would probably have to follow that budget specifically. They wouldn't have any wiggle room. That would be a very justifiable thing to say to the governor, and I would expect an exception to be made. If they had a vehicle purchase budget, then I would assume that they would be able to purchase vehicles out of that budget. And again, if they couldn't purchase enough vehicles, I would expect that to be something they could justify to the governor. And then in the future, they might have to have a discussion with the Appropriations Committee, which would then be allowed. So I believe, Mr. President, that flexibility would be there, and I appreciate the question from a good friend from Casey.
Question is, shall third reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 52 pass? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That amendment's been adopted. Back on the bill. Discussion on the bill. Senator Burns.
Mr. President, we're on the bill, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, just so I'm sure. Mr. President, this bill kind of reminds me of when we were doing telecommunications legislation back in the House, and it was 1995, and we were trying to apply 2005 technology to 1995 legislation. And basically, we didn't know where it was going to go. We didn't know the advent of the cell phone to the little computer we now have in our pockets. And that's one of the problems I have with this bill. Over the next couple of years, we're going to be buying natural gas vehicles. We're mandating that we buy natural gas vehicles. These vehicles will last for about 10 years. But we don't know what the state of automobiles and trucks are going to be over the next 10 years. I think it's greatly in flux right now between electric cars and low-mileage cars, and frankly, I don't really see natural gas cars out there. So it kind of reminds me of when I was a kid, my father thought he had found the next technological breakthrough, and he went out and he bought a whole bunch of these machines, and he even bought a franchise for that area of the country that we were in, and he actually got the franchise to sell the four-track tape machine, not realizing that within 6 months the eight-track was going to come out, made the four-track completely obsolete. And I'm afraid that's what we may be committing these agencies to do. We are forcing them into buying natural gas vehicles, when in fact, that may not be the future. I think this is just a bad idea. I think it's well-intentioned, but like most well-intentioned environmental legislation, I think it's got unintended consequences.
Further discussion? Senator Landon.
Well, thank you, Mr. President. I don't want to take too much time on this, but I do want to, first of all, I know where this bill came from. Good friend who used to sit in front of me and has now moved into my district, and so either way, I'm going to have to answer to him when I get home. But, you know, the more I've pondered this bill, the more heartburn I've kind of gotten. And that's because, you know, I serve on the Transportation Committee on your behalf, and we've spent all that time to try to identify how can we free up some funds for our roads, and then we're going to turn around and carve this out. So I share the concerns expressed by my chairman on that front. We also have some issues that my good friend behind me has been working very diligently on to try to help the Game and Fish with, helping, you know, his chairman. So, you know, I just don't think this is going to work, folks, and that's why I'm going to be a no vote on this bill. Thank you.
Further discussion? Senator Dockstader.
Thank you, Mr. President. Earlier we were talking about creating a network for natural gas vehicles across the state.
Quiet. Excuse.
Earlier we were talking about creating a network for natural gas vehicles across the state. I see that I don't hold the concerns that they won't be part of the system sometime. I think they will be. Those vehicles are getting, we had a demonstration over in our valley this summer, they're getting about 300,000 miles out of a pickup truck, and that's not bad. My concern is that we don't have that network completely set up across the state to support the state having these vehicles, so I'd be against the bill.
Any further discussion? Senator, Mr. Vice President.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. President, and this is some great discussion that we need to be having about this bill, And my colleague from Sheridan County makes a good point about the timing of it. And clearly, if this bill would have been here 3, 4, 5, 6 years ago, the technology was not there that we would even have this discussion, because it's a moving target. And the reason the Mineral Committee's brought this bill forward, there's a lot of reason, but specifically relative to the technology, we felt that the timing was now to the point that the technology was up to the speed, to the position where these things made sense. That's the first thing. The second thing, we recognize how much natural gas we as a state produce. We thought it only made sense for us to try to do things that would utilize our own natural gas for consumption within the state, and we've been working with industry in those kind of endeavors. The third thing, as we get into the debate, and particularly it's not unusual for Wyoming, given the nature of our state, about the chicken and the egg. And so do we try to incentivize, and there's another bill that moved through, to try to incentivize people to build these. And if you don't try to do something on the state side, just given the nature of our state, it's very difficult for people to step up in the private sector, spend $1 million to put one of these facilities in. The timing is something that I'll leave to the good judgment of this body. Maybe this bill is too soon. Maybe it's something we should be talking about later. But the Minerals Committee felt that at this time, at this point in our state, that we should move forward in this direction.
Further discussion. Senator Anderson, 28.
Mr. President, on and for the bill, senator from the state butterfly county brought up that we may need, may not want this in 10 years, and I see in the wisdom of the committee, they sunsetted it on 2017, which is only 5 years that we can ask them to put in natural gas machines. Thank you.
Further discussion? Senate File 52. Huh? Oh, gosh. Sorry.
Mr. President.
Mr. Minority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, speaking on the second time in favor of this bill. I appreciate the concern, certainly, and we did give all of those concerns, Trona County's concerns about the expenses and the fact that we're trying to take some money for roads. The reality is this is a savings. It's a long-term savings. It's just the fact that we can't realize that savings within one budget cycle, so we can't present it as a savings. But if we as a body think conceptually and think in the long run, the intent of this program is not only to save us money, but to stimulate the Wyoming economy, which generates additional revenue. So from that standpoint, while I can't budget that on a two-year cycle, I have to go 4, 5, 10 years out there. We save money through this program, and that is a positive for the Department of Transportation and the other departments in the long run, because that's of benefit financially to the state of Wyoming. But I do appreciate that concern. Furthermore, with regard to the concept that the technology will become antiquated, or maybe it'll turn into an 8-track tape player, or whatever the case may be, the legislation was drafted, one of the amendments that was provided indicates that we can simply abandon this program under circumstances where the section has been rendered unfeasible or economically impractical due to changes in the cost or availability of appropriate compressed natural gas vehicles or compressed natural gas. If we do have a substantial technology breakthrough, that language is clearly going to take care of it, and then we say, all right, well, these electric cars are a far better deal, or these 80 miles per gallon, fuel efficient, next generation something or other is a better deal. We provide the flexibility for that. And that was, again, some of the foresight that went into the way that this was drafted. The final concept about the network not yet existing, I'd refer you to the original language in the bill, which specifically states on page 2 in Romanettes 1 and 2 that this is dependent upon the development of that infrastructure. No community that doesn't have the infrastructure in place is going to be required to purchase these vehicles, because honestly that just wouldn't make any sense. So again, we're trying to wrestle with this chicken and egg problem. We've got some legislation moving forward that's trying to encourage the development of the stations. We're trying to provide a requirement to have some vehicles out there, and then we're hoping that that will develop. I can't foresee the future. I'm not sure whether it will develop, whether it will be the right market, whether it will be economically viable. But due to the fact that we have a sunset provision in place and we have a good bit of flexibility if this doesn't work out, we're not tying ourselves to a sinking ship here. We're providing ourselves with good flexibility in anticipation of a probable marketplace that would lead to good economic development and good savings in the long run for the state of Wyoming. With that, I'd urge a favorable vote, Mr. President.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Senate File 52, having been read 3 separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Anderson, District 2?
Aye.
Anderson, District 28?
Aye.
Barnard?
No.
Bebout?
Aye.
Burns?
No.
Case?
No.
Christensen?
Aye.
Coe?
Aye.
Cooper? Kraft?
Aye.
Dockstader?
No.
Driscoll excused. Emmerich?
Aye.
Esquivel?
Aye.
Geis?
Aye.
Hastert?
Aye.
Hicks?
Aye.
Hines?
No.
Johnson?
Aye.
Landon?
No.
Meyer?
Aye.
Nicholas?
Aye.
Nutting?
Aye.
Perkins excused. Peterson?
No.
Rothfuss?
Aye.
Schiffer?
No.
Scott?
Aye.
Von Flatern?
Aye.
President Ross?
No.
Closing vote? Closing. Vote closed. 19 ayes, 9 noes, 2 excused.
Senate File 52, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of members elected to the Senate, Senate File 52 has passed the Senate. Senator Anderson.
Mr. President, privilege of the floor.
You may.
We're again honored to have the second platoon from Willard's Elementary 5th grade from Casper, Wyoming, with teacher Jackie Walker. Please help me welcome them.
Welcome to the Senate.
Mr. President.
Senator Burns.
May I have privilege of the floor, please?
Yes, you may.
Mr. President, yesterday I introduced some exchange students. It's my honor to introduce yet another exchange student. This is Katie from Germany, who is staying up in Sheridan. She's going to Sheridan High School, and I wish the body would make her welcome.
Welcome to the Senate. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, we're at that order of business, consideration of bills on general file.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I move that the Senate resolve itself in the Committee of the Whole.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Motion's been adopted. Senator Von Flatern.
The Committee of the Whole will please come to order. The first bill for our consideration is Senate File 55. Will the reading clerk please read it in?
Senate File 55, Energy and Natural Resource Education Initiative, sponsored by the Education Committee, an act relating to statewide energy and natural resource education initiative. It was referred to Committee Number 4, Education, reports back with a favorable recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Anderson, 02, Senators Barnard, Cole, Landon, no, Senator Roffa, Senator Co-Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Senator Co?
Chairman, I'm
Hold on a second, please. I'm getting two on at the same time here. Okay, Senator Kosar.
Mr. Chairman, I move when the Committee of the Whole rise and report it do so with a do pass recommendation on Senate File 55. There is a standing committee amendment, and I would move that at this time.
Could I have the clerk please read it in?
Please read it in.
Senate File 55, Standing Committee Amendment Number 1, page 2, line 6.
Senator Coe.
Chairman, I would defer to Senator Anderson for an explanation of the bill.
Senator Anderson, District 2.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And it's really with a good deal of pleasure that I bring this bill before you this morning. Senate File 55 was developed during the interim session with a considerable amount of input from a stakeholders group that was comprised of oil and gas, mining, agriculture, and conservation interest, along with the Department of Education, University of Wyoming, and the Governor's Office. And I think that this is an indication of the interest in this bill, the amount of cooperation, collaboration, and frankly, a lot of good thinking, I think, went into it. I'll take a few minutes to kind of set the bill up and give you the genesis of it, and then I'll move more directly in the bill. The scope of Senate File 55 really represents an expansion that came from the Management Council's directive to look at energy literacy to include energy and natural resource development, use, and stewardship. And all of you know the significance and the importance of natural resources to the state of Wyoming, and in terms of jobs, revenue, economy, all the folks that were involved with the presentation of this bill felt that it was important that the children of Wyoming have a thorough understanding of the nature of all those natural resources and the effect that it would have upon not only their lives today, but into the future. The expansion then would allow a future program to make a holistic look at how and who uses these natural resources and the positive benefits in Wyoming. That would include not just oil, natural gas, coal, but it would include other mining interests such as trona, bentonite, in addition to all the renewable energy resources, which we're beginning to see now in terms of wind and solar. Now, I know that any time we introduce something that will have an effect upon education and might find its way into the classroom, many folks begin forming questions in their mind of what the motive is, and I'll talk about that as I go through the bill. The language of the bill requires a program to take a balanced approach. Production, consumption, marketing, stewardship, conservation, all those multifaceted parts that go into this very integral part of Wyoming's economy. And this approach to educating Wyoming students about natural resources specifically directs that the use and development be balanced in a manner that is alongside the stewardship conversation. And so you will see as we go through the bill, a balanced approach is consistent with truly occurring in Wyoming. So with that, I would call your attention. We'll go through the bill. I know that there will be, I think, questions and things to be discussed. And I'll go through the bill, make some comments, and kind of put my personal experience, if not a bias to it, then I'll certainly take the opportunity after you've gone through the bill to talk about some of those things that might come to mind.
Will you insert the amendment as you go?
I will. There are two amendments. Of course, one has been moved. The Standing Committee amendment has been moved, and the Committee of the Whole amendment kind of goes back to that.
I'll take one motion at a time here.
I understand, and that's what I'm trying to explain, Mr. Chairman.
Okay.
We will deal with the Standing Committee amendment first. Then when it comes time, I'll move the committee of the whole amendment. We'll read that in, and I'll deal with that. So with that, Mr. Chairman, I think probably we can just deal with the amendment, and then we can go into the bill and then deal with the final amendment. So the first amendment, of course, being the Standing Committee amendment, is Standing Committee Amendment Number 1. And if I'll call your attention to that, page 2, line 6, you will see that is has been stricken and may be would be inserted. The purpose of that amendment was to clear up the idea of that this is, in fact, a voluntary program and it may be implemented and is really not being imposed upon the classroom. The second part of that amendment then would take us almost to the end of the bill and I think practically the last word of the bill. It was primarily a technical change, but we found that the word immersion was misspelled and it then become immersion, and so that then changes the word immersion to immersion, and that then is the context of the Standing Committee amendment. It has been moved, and I would call for the discussion or question of that amendment.
Discussion on the amendment. Senator Rothfuss.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I just wanted to qualify. There was one more little point of that amendment, line 10-11, which adds the phrase is optional in part or in whole for use by teachers, schools, and school districts. And that was certainly implied by the good senator, but I wanted to clarify where that was added in, page 2 after line 21. So simple clarification.
Thank you, Senator Rogers. Further discussion on the amendment? Seeing none, all those in favor of Senator Coe's motion to adopt Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 to Senate File 55, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Amendment, Standing Committee Amendment 1 to Senate File 55 has passed the body. Would you like to move the Committee of the Whole amendment at this time, Senator Anderson?
Yeah, I think that I will because they're related. So the Committee of the Whole amendment is my amendment, and I think that would then have to be read in, and then I would then move Standing Committee of the Whole amendment number 1.
Thank you. I'll have the clerk read it in.
Be read in.
Senate File 55, Committee of the Whole Amendment Number 1, page 3, line 18.
Senator Anderson.
Thank you. And again, we go back to the final page 3, line 18, and then looking at that word immersion, I question whether or not that really said what we wanted it to say. So I took the initiative through this amendment to change that word immersion to integration. Reason being, as I looked at the term immersion, that means to plunge into, to cover, to surround, to engulf. And I think that might be a little bit stronger than what was intended by this. So then by inserting integration, it blends into the whole and blend more, I think, more specifically into the curriculum. And it can be incorporated by definition into a larger unit. So that was my reasoning in regard to putting the term integration in at line 8, page 3. And I would then answer any questions or call for the question on the Committee of the Whole amendment.
Okay, we're on the Committee of the Whole, number 1, amendment to 55. Any comments? No, seeing none. All those in favor of Senator Anderson's motion to adopt standing committee, the Committee of the Whole Amendment number 1 to Senate File 55, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Committee of the Whole number 1 to 55 has passed the body. Senator Anderson.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chairman. We'll go to Section 1 on the first page of the bill. And under A, it talks about the Governor's Policy Office. She'll be the one to oversee the development of this statewide initiative. And, of course, we've talked about what the initiative is. It says then on lines 15 to the end of the page that the initiative shall be a joint effort from the representatives of the natural resources, industries, related members, organizations, state education agencies, public education stakeholders, representatives, and the governor's office, and that shall focus on the development of a curriculum for use in the public education program. Then it goes on then, and line 6, and that's where we inserted may be. In other words, that makes it more voluntary on the part of school districts, embedded and within the existing school curriculum. So it, you know, it fits in, so to speak. And, Mr. Chairman, I don't want to get into a long conversation, but I have considerable experience in the classroom in regard to how you can emerge these curriculums. This is a very valuable tool in regard to using those goals, those objectives, those content areas can be immersed in units that developed out of this natural resource unit. I'd be glad to talk more about that later. Line number 9, too little I, it talks about how this ensures a balanced approach. We've talked already in our introduction about that, to energy and natural resources, and it mentions the word stewardship and ensures subject matter expertise is integrated, and that goes back to the earlier amendment, I think brings consistency with the requirements of a statewide educational program that's prescribed by law. So it fits, it merges, it's integrated with those things that we're already spelling out, or if you wish, dictated by law. One of the things, and again, I think another strong asset of this program, it does help to advance student critical thinking skills. It extends beyond normal classroom areas into extracurricular activities. And the real strength in terms of curricular activities, it provides opportunity, I think, for such things as field trips and making collections and outdoor classrooms and a whole repertoire of things that you can do with students. And I remember from my experience, we formed an outdoor classroom. And one of the things that we did were riparian studies, and we did that in conjunction with game and fish and other areas. So that, I think, provides those opportunities. 5, it says it is easily accessed and used by public teachers. It's going to be made available. Resources, materials, opportunities for people to come speak to your classes from all this broad representation of natural resources will be made available as additional resources in the toolbox of teachers. So I think that it's excellent. Again, it's optional. But that's pretty much the scope of the program. B talks about the appropriation of $75,000 is appropriated from the school foundation account that would then go into the governor's policy office for the purpose of acquiring professional expertise necessary to initiate subsection A of this bill, and I won't go back over that, but that really speaks to that first section, necessary to initiate this, and then make a report of recommendations to the Joint Education Committee when they come back in December of this year in 2013. And within that recommendation, at a minimum, there would be an assessment of existing educational programs that are related to this. Number two would determine necessary funding requirements for the continued development and distribution of education materials directed at students and teachers. And three would be to determine future placement of program governance and oversight. And finally, at the bill, it would be would help to specify the program structure as being grade specific or full kindergarten through grade 12. And again, then that change kindergarten through grade 12 integration, and that was a change in that amendment. So I think with that, you know, there's a lot I could say, but I think it best be directed by the questions and whatnot. But I think it's a valuable tool. It does not impose upon the classroom. It's voluntary. It's additional resources. And I'll just simply say this is my statement. There are many different teaching styles as there are learning styles. And I found that this kind of thing is what engages students. It's what brings relevancy to the classroom. And I think that this is the kind of thing that we discussed in the earlier bill that will help teachers provide those things that will make kids want to stay in school. And that's all I have. I'll pause for any questions. Thank you.
Further discussion on the bill. Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, a couple of questions I'd have that during the education thing, we had this bill up in appropriations and some things were brought out that some states already have a energy in the classroom. And I think Oklahoma was brought up to mind. And I was really reticent about putting any more money at $75,000 for a so-called expert to go out and develop all these things. I felt it might be just as easy to email somebody from Oklahoma, ask them to send that material up to us, see whether or not it would work, and, you know, perhaps a licensee agreement, or maybe they just give it to us and change Oklahoma to Wyoming. You know, it seemed like it was an excessive amount of money that was going to go forward, and we're basically reinventing the wheel. Now, that being said, Mr. Chairman, I fully support this effort. There's no doubt about it. I think that kids need to know when you turn on a light, it comes from Wyoming coal. I think that's important. People need to know about Wyoming energy, especially in the classroom and here, you know, in Wyoming. But I certainly believe that we're trying to reinvent the wheel. There could be a better way to do it. And so if somebody's got any idea along those ends, that would be maybe a little bit more effective to get this thing even rolled out a little bit quicker. If these materials already exist in an acceptable form someplace else, we should take advantage of that. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Senator Scott was up for next.
Senator Mr. Scott. Chairman, some trepidation that I rise to express a concern about a bill like this, that classic feel-good bill, but I really wonder, as I look at schools, I expect them to devote bulk of their time to teaching reading and writing, and math, sciences, and foreign languages, fundamental academic subjects. And I wonder, as we start throwing on additional items and pushing them to consider them, are we going to detract from the fundamental mission of our schools? And is this really something that the state legislature ought to do? I will say I'm unconvinced, and at this point I don't want to touch off a big long debate, but I suspect the approaching lunch hour will prevent that. But I have not been convinced that I shouldn't vote no on this bill.
Senator Schiffer.
Mr. Chairman, the question is, how does this tie in with our program that we have already that is Ag in the Classroom? And if you look at their curriculum, it's not just Ag. It's all natural resources development. They've moved so far. I know that they've already They do it the same way. It's all embedded. It already meets all the common core requirements from kindergarten through fifth grade. And by the way, our general fund already funds a portion of that. So I'm trying to figure out how these two programs, one's already existing and is already embedded and meets the common core standards, which I see this does not require, which is unfortunate, how the two jive together.
Senator Anderson.
If I may, I'll deal with both issues or both questions at the same time, and I can certainly appreciate the angle. I think the answer to the first question relates also to the second question in regard to, you know, how does this work with an existing curriculum? You know, there's a lot of discussion in regard to of reading in the content areas, writing in the content areas, social studies in the content areas, all the content within these areas. It's common within all schools, many schools, junior highs, to use what they call thematic units in order to engage students in the idea of learning to read and to write. You engage them in a theme, and it might be the idea that you would take a natural resource issue, say mining, and some kids would be engaged through the process of time of doing math related to mining. They would do reading related to mining. They would do social studies in related to relation to mining. They could do agriculture and all these things related to mining. So these things then are woven into a curriculum that's all related into what that classroom teacher, knowing what her charges are, to use these things as a vehicle in order to engage and to motivate students to more realistically understand why they read, why they write, and that. So then this would be then materials and other things related to all these different themes and applied to content areas. Ag in the Classroom, the people from Ag in the Classroom came and gave their rather lengthy and very passionate support of this, and it's absolutely, and I guess hand in glove with what the people are doing, Ag in the Classroom. That then is a bit of a template for what we want to do here. I was involved in Ag in the Classroom in the beginning, and this is absolutely consistent with that. Ag in the Classroom has their endorsement, but it takes it on beyond agriculture, which is very important to Wyoming, but it takes it into the areas of mining and other natural resource and renewable energy, and I think expands upon those things that have proven to be a success of Ag in the Classroom and apply them more holistically, more globally across Wyoming. In regard to the senator from Goshen County, and whether we not, might not be best just to piggyback off Oklahoma. We have much in common with Oklahoma in regard to our interest, but Wyoming is different. We are the primary natural gas producer in the United States. Oklahoma's in that, but not as heavily as we are. We have uranium. We have other natural resources that may not be specific to Oklahoma. Many of the techniques, many of the things that they've done, certainly we could share, but the content would be based on Wyoming natural resources. Mr. Chairman, again, the clock is ticking. I would try to answer any further questions, but I, like I said, I won't continue the discussion.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that the...
Yes, we have a motion. We have a motion on the floor. Recess would be set precedence. Can we finish the bill?
I move that we lay this bill back until 2 p.m.
You've heard the motion. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Okay. Following motion.
Questions. I move that the committee of the whole beg and ask Rise to report again at 2.
You've heard the motion. All in favor, say aye.
Right here. It's right here.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader, that clears the desk.
Thank you, Mr. Senate, Mr. Senate President. I move that we stay in recess until 2 p.m.
Announcement? Senator Hines.
Mr. President, your committee number 9, Minerals, will meet in approximately 15 minutes to take up Senate File 119, Natural Gas Service Development.
Senator Coe.
Mr. President, your committee number 4 will meet upon adjournment to continue its work on Senate File 63, Special Reserve Account.
Senator Von Flader.
President, your committee number 8, Transportation, Highway, and Military Affairs, will meet this Monday, 10 minutes after adjournment, room S14, to consider Senate File 29, Hitchhiking, Senate File 93, Use of the Cell Phones While Driving, Senate File 116, School Bus Driver's Cell Phone Use, and Senate File 126, Overweight and Oversized Vehicles.
Mr. Vice President.
And thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, your committee number 2, Appropriations, will continue doing markup in the JAC room. And for members of the Senate, we're about probably 75-80% through the markup. The plan is to complete that today, and then we'll be working the bill all next week. And as we move forward, we'll give you a schedule for when we bring it to the floor. But we'll start that meeting in the JAC at 12:15.
Any further announcements? You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Senate stand in recess until 2 p.m.